This evening I want to consider for a few moments the passage which we have read, the passage which is commonly known as that of the wise men. And here in Northern Ireland, we have many wise men and women. Those who are wise, that is, they have a lot of knowledge and understanding. And those who consider themselves wise, although with many it may be questionable, there are those who seem to be able to speak with such certainty on all sorts of subjects, from politics to religion, from Brexit to COVID, and they seem to know everything about everything, and they count themselves wise. And there is always someone not standing not too far away to throw in their penny's worth when you're doing something, to tell you how you could be doing it better. Oh, there's plenty of wise men and wise women in our land. And I'm sure, by the look of the faces, that there are names and thoughts of those running through your head, perhaps, at this moment. You know, these wise men and wise women that we find in our land are all seeking something out of life. For some, it may be fame in their particular field of expertise. For some, it is professional success. For others, it will be financial reward, whether it be in the form of a bigger house, a better car, or perhaps more land. Solomon, the wisest man to ever sit on an earthly throne, said in the book of Ecclesiastes that all earthly treasure was vanity. And even no matter what you gain in this life, whatever wisdom you accumulate, yet if you only use it for earthly use, then it is of no use. Perhaps tonight as you sit here, you don't feel very wise as far as the wisdom of men is concerned. But I have a message tonight for each and every one of us, regardless of whether you're learned or unlearned, rich or poor, young or old, whether you feel wise or not. And I would like us to consider a few simple thoughts as we see tonight the wisest of wise men, the wisest of wise men. I would like us to notice, first of all, their diligence. The original word from which we get when we read of the wise men is magi, a word which has become more popular over the last number of years. It describes these men, men of wisdom. It is the word from which we get, the original Greek word from which we get our word magician. But we are not to take it that these men were those who practiced magic or sorcery. This was not the meaning of the original Greek. These men chiefly lived in Persia and Arabia, and they were learned men of the Eastern nations, devoted, as I said, to the boys and girls, to astronomy, religion, and to medicine. They were held in high esteem in the Persian court. They were admitted as counselors, and they followed the camps as they went out to war to give advice. One commentator notes that some of the Jews believed that there were prophets in the kingdom of Sabaea and Arabia, who were of the posterity or the lineage of Abraham, and that they taught in the name of God what they had received in tradition from the mouth of Abraham. And yes, this is only one thought that on who these men were. But these, knowing the promise of the Messiah, were now probably like other believing Jews waiting for the consolation of Israel, even as Simeon was when we find them in the temple in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Their investigation of astronomy would have led them to question such a star that appeared in the sky. It would have led them to investigate its sudden appearance. And having discovered this unusual appearance in the heavens, and supposing these men to have been Jews or else men with great religious knowledge, or philosophers of religion, they would have known the prophecies relative to the redemption of Israel. They would have known of Daniel's prophecy, even in the land of Babylon, in the years that he said that would come to pass to when the Lord would return. They probably considered this to be the star mentioned by Balaam in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. For there we read, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. But I believe as we progress this evening through these verses, that we will see that these men were not worshippers of heathen deity, but rather believers in the true and living God. And we will see this, I believe, as we secondly look at their direction. Their direction. This star was so vivid and so clear that the wise men were drawn to it. It stood out from the others. It would have been visible to all those around who would look for it. But these wise men took notice of it. They were watching and waiting. They were studying. We see that it was not enough for them just to look at the beautiful star that outshone all others in the sky. But with their understanding, they left all and followed its leading. Well, these were men who were dedicated to their task. And even though the way would be long and difficult, with many a challenge and many a trial, yet they set their minds to the task. It is believed that it may have taken them almost 2 years to find the Lord Jesus Christ. You may ask, well, where do you get that from? Well, we read of how Herod inquired of the time when the star appeared. And shortly after, the wise man failing to return to Jerusalem, he ordered all the male children of 2 years and under to be murdered. Oh, what a journey to make. Just because a star appeared in the sky, you say. But I wonder, dear Christian friends, this evening, are we as devoted to serving the Lord Jesus Christ as these men were to seeking him? And dear unsaved friends, you may think it mad that such men with wisdom, with knowledge, with understanding, would leave all and follow him, follow a star, not knowing where it would lead them. Leave home, leave family, leave employment, leave all their comforts and set out on such a journey. And yet, dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ willingly left the splendor of heaven and communion with his Father, and he humbled himself to be born in Bethlehem's stable. He lived a life of obedience to the law of God, so that on Calvary's cross he would shed his precious blood and present himself before his Father in heaven as that perfect sacrifice for sin, dying in the place of you and I, who had for ourselves no love of him. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, we read, and when it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Well, the Lord knew what lay before him when he left the splendor of heaven. He knew how cruel men would beat him and bruise him and mar him more than any man. And he knew that they would cruelly nail him to that cross in Calvary's hill. I wonder, dear friend, is the journey for you too great to come to Christ? Is it greater than the road that our Saviour took to Calvary to suffer for your sin and mine? We see there the journey that they took, the direction that they went. But I want you to notice with me also the difficulty they encountered. Very often as we travel life's road, difficulties come our way. And more often than not, they can be of our own making. As the wise men travelled, they came in sight of Jerusalem. And in their own wisdom, I believe, they left following the star. Well, where else would the King of the Jews be born? Well, of course, in a palace, in the capital city of the country. But no. As they entered Jerusalem and made inquiry, I'm sure these men were shocked to find that no one in Jerusalem knew anything about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who would be King of the Jews. Many people in their situation, I'm sure, would have given up searching for the Saviour at this point, and they would have turned back, assuming that they had misread the signs. People around us today are searching for peace and happiness. But so many are searching in the wrong places. In their own wisdom, they're looking for their own things to find the Saviour and to gain salvation. Even as the wise men searched in Jerusalem. Here was a city steeped in religion. But the religious were not looking for Christ. And friends, many across our land today and over the next coming days will go to churches and they will expect to find Christ. But that's sad to say, many ministers or priests may talk about Jesus, the Saviour of the world, the one who was born in Bethlehem's manger. But they will not be able to direct those who are seeking to find him. Herod called his wise men together to find out where the Lord Jesus Christ should be born, for he was troubled at their saying. Verse 4 of Matthew 2. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. What would this mean for these people in Jerusalem? For these religious leaders? Oh, they told him that it would be that the Lord would be born in Bethlehem, for they knew the prophecies of the Old Testament. But notice that they did not get excited or rush to go with the wise men as they were sent on their journey. I wonder were they troubled. It says all Jerusalem was troubled with Herod. I wonder were the Jews troubled that if this was true, if what these wise men said was true, then what would it mean for Jewish freedom and religious liberty in the city of Jerusalem under Roman rule? Even when they said they were led by the star, the Jews were quite happy to point them in the general direction. But that was as far as it went. Did they really believe that the promised Saviour of the world had been born, like the wise men told them? I'm not really sure that they did. And still there are many in our own society that have been brought up under the sound of God's word, have heard the Bible stories, and still they dismiss it. Oh, it's only fables. Oh, it's not true. It didn't happen. I'm sure the same thing was happening in Jerusalem in those days. Those in Jerusalem were not interested. They were quite happy going on about their own life, listening to whatever they heard, as long as it didn't disturb their life too much. It is interesting to note that Herod sent these men away, giving them instruction to return if they found the one whom they sought. If the reaction of the priests and the scribes had been anything other than dismissive, then would not a delegation have been sent out by Herod to Bethlehem? And would not the Jewish leaders have made haste for themselves? For they were the ones who were supposedly waiting and watching for the promised Messiah. Those who, with all their wisdom and learning, were not so wise in that they could not recognize him of whom the scripture spoke. I wonder, was it because these were outsiders that had made their way to Jerusalem? And why would the promised Messiah be revealed to them? Would he not make a dramatic entrance as King of the Jews? Isaiah tells us in his prophecy in chapter 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. John speaks of such in his Gospel in John 1, verse 10 and 11. He, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And still today, the message of the Gospel goes forth across our land, and there are those who reject it. There are those who despise it. There are those who trample it underfoot. I wonder, are you like that this evening, my friend? Oh, you're quite happy to come to church. You're quite happy to put your trust in whatever your minister or your priest says for salvation. You're quite happy to live and die by the golden rule, and to do whatever's asked of you, or to simply fool yourself into believing that you can live as you want, and when things will be just fine when you stand before the Lord as your judge in eternity. I wonder, are you willing this evening to put your trust in your own wisdom rather than in God's word? To go on along your way? Or will you seek the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Saviour? Friends, no church, no denomination, no minister, no priest can save you. You must come to Christ yourself. Oh, people all across the world look to religious leaders and religion to find peace and happiness, but they're relying on others to show them a way. Often others that don't know the true way. The Lord Jesus Christ told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God's word should be our only guide, as the star had been the guide for these wise men. I wonder, what is your guide to salvation this evening? Will the way be too difficult? What will you have to leave behind? Oh, you may be searching, but will you stop short of salvation? The Lord said to his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. You don't like the thought of that. You don't like the thought of a difficult path ahead. But praise God, Christ promises that his grace is sufficient for us. He tells us that his burden is light, and he promises to lead us every step of the way. And when our going gets difficult, he will carry us safe through. Will you not trust him this evening? We have seen the diligence of the wise men. We have seen their direction. We have seen their difficulty. I want us to notice their delight. Their delight. The wise men had been at Jerusalem, where they expected to have found the one who was born King of the Jews. They had been to the court of Herod and conversed with the greatest, with men of the greatest esteem and intelligence, and could get no good tidings of him. People of all ranks and degrees seemed to be troubled at the account that they brought, but nobody cared to go along with them to Bethlehem. All these circumstances, no doubt, were discouraging to these men. But as soon as they looked again to the star, their spirits were revived and joy filled their heart once again. And they continued on their journey following the star, till they came to the place where the one they sought was found. Oh, and what joy filled their hearts We read in verse 11 of our text, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." In the previous verse, we see that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Oh, joy filled their hearts, and they praised the Lord. This joy that we read of could easily be translated as filled with rapture, excessive joy. Well, they had found the one for whom they longed, for whom they searched. And their joy gave way to devotion. We see them fall before the child in worship and adoration. For they had found the Saviour of the world, the one of whom God had promised Adam and Eve in the garden, the one who he said would save his people from their sins. But I want us to notice that as they entered that home, the first thing that they done was not to present their gifts, but rather they presented themselves. They presented themselves. Paul exhorted the Roman believers to, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And these men, as they came into the presence of the Lord, they bowed down before him, they prostrated themselves before him, and they gave him their lives. They worshipped him. They worshipped him with nothing less than their all. Well, people often get salvation back to front. They bring their good works as an offering to God in order to merit salvation. Empty vessels to lay before the Saviour. But the wise men offered themselves, and then they gave their gifts. When we come to Christ, dear friend, we must come just as we are. Just as we are. We're only sinners in the sight of God. And we have nothing good of ourselves to bring. Oh, you may bring all your good works, but they are as filthy rags in the sight of a just and a holy and a righteous God. We come just as we are, confessing our sins before him. He who is willing and able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we must trust in him alone, not in what we are or what we have done for salvation. The Bible does not say whosoever shall live a good life or be religious shall be saved, but rather whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friends, this evening simply believe that Christ shed his precious blood for you on Calvary's cross. Repent of your sin and trust in him alone. And then we notice that the wise men obeyed. Oh, they made him Lord and Master of their lives. They gave him their all. They offered their gifts. And then they obeyed. Many people want the benefits of Christ as Saviour, but do not want to serve him. Well, the wise men served the Lord and they obeyed his leading. We see in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed and went to their own country another way. They obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit, who comes to dwell in the hearts of those who trust in Christ. Are you willing to trust and obey this evening? These men did not leave disappointed with Christ. And dear friend, if you trust Christ this evening, then you'll not go away disappointed either. As we close, I leave you an illustration which I read while preparing this message, and I believe it to be very fitting. A man travelled a great distance for an interview with a distinguished scholar. He was ushered into the man's study where he said, "Doctor, I notice that the walls of your study are lined with books from the ceiling to the floor. No doubt you have read them all, and I know that you have written many yourself. You have travelled extensively, and doubtless you have had the privilege of conversing with some of the world's wisest men. I've come a long way just to ask you one question. Tell me, of all you have learned, what is the one thing most worth knowing? Putting his hand on his guest's shoulder, the scholar replied with emotion in his voice, "My dear sir, all of the things I have learned, only two are really worth knowing. The first is that I am a great sinner. And the second, that Jesus Christ is a great Saviour. If you know these two things personally, you know the best news in the whole world, that a Saviour has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord." And friends, the Saviour has been born for you and I, who is Christ the Lord. Dear friend, you may consider yourself wise tonight, or you may not. You may be well educated or unlearned. The Lord did not come just for those who were intellectual. We considered this morning how the news of the Saviour's birth was brought by the angels to the shepherds, the lowest in society. But I ask you, whatever your ability, whatever your social standing, whatever your age, will you this evening be the wisest of wise men in Market Hill tonight and seek Christ as Lord and Saviour of your life?